broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in Harvest Word Assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
We'll read verse 14 through to 17. John 10, 14 through to 17.
I am the good shepherd,
and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Hallelujah. 16. All the way through to 17. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hallelujah. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. Hallelujah. Isn't this interesting? Somebody, we gave all the answers, right? All of the answers we gave are here, right? But how many of us would literally lay our life down for somebody else? Interestingly, God doesn't call us to do that. The only person that was called to lay down his life for others was the man Jesus. The God man. But let's go back to verse 16. The Bible says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That means there are a group of people that Jesus was with at that time, and he had gathered. Them also I must, look at that word. Mark that word in your scripture if you have it. Them also I must, what? Bring. And they shall hear my voice. How shall they hear my voice? We'll come to that. And they shall be one fold and one shepherd. The question is this. Has Jesus fulfilled this scripture? It's not a trick question. Has he brought all that are not in his fold into his fold? Okay, not yet. But Jesus is dead and risen and is in heaven, right? Seated at the right hand of the Father. But the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians, pardon me, 2 Corinthians 3, that he has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, that we might go out and reconcile all to us who? Himself. He speaks in Ephesians 2 and he declares to us that we are co-laborers with him in this work. And what is that work? Bringing all that are outside his fold to his fold. John 21. I was intending to read the entire chapter, but I will save us that and go to the meat of the matter. You can read it when we get home. Let's pick it up from verse 15. Background. Jesus is risen. He's appeared to the disciples twice. The time when he came, after Mary had seen him and he appeared to them in the house when they got back. And the other time when they were at the road, what's the name of that place? But this is the third time Jesus is appearing to them. So they know his reason. They know he's leaving. Peter, supposedly meant to be the custodian of what will push the gospel out and get the work done, takes up his boat and his fishing net, which he has left aside for about 3.5 years, and goes and dusts it. And says, see, this guy, even though I don't see him, he'd be like, say, nothing's happening from this work again. Right? He's gone. Let's go and live our lives. And they go out fishing. They don't find fish. Jesus comes to them, meets them at the shore of the waters, and he calls them to the shore of the waters and presents food for them. That's the context. Verse 15. So Jesus has served them food. They are eating already. What they went out to get, Jesus gave them freely. And he starts to ask Peter a question. So when they are dined, look at it, they are eating. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, don't trust me, this wasn't, if you look at the context, it wasn't Simon. It was Simon, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than this? Jesus was angry. That's the real context of what's going on here. Okay, you want food, right? Oh yeah, I've served you food. Eat. He said unto him, yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says unto him, feed my... Next verse. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Ah, Baba. He said to him, feed my sheep. Next verse. He said unto him the third time, just furious. You know the way we have it in our culture, that when your father and mother calls your names 3 times, ha, that's the end. So I'm thinking it's similar to that. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? That's Jesus' question. Do you love me? You know, the question that we are trying to answer in today's discussion is what? The greatest expression of love. Peter was grieved about Binu. He's angry. I said I love you now. Where do you remain? What you got waiting now? What else is left? I said I love you. Pardon me for those joining us online. Too much francophone lingua in between all of my saints. I'll try and keep it and speak more English. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Matthew 15 and 40 and 24, you know. Just like the work. Remember the woman, the woman who came begging Jesus, heal my son, blah, 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 blah. We know the Canaanite woman. And Jesus said to her, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the sheep of the house of what? Israel. So you see, just assignment when he was on earth was to the sheep of the house of what? Israel. Let's put it at par. Acts 1 and verse 8. Don't mind me, even some of these things, I don't have it written down. Acts 1 and verse 8. Let's compare Jesus' assignment and our assignment. Acts 1 and verse 8. Are you there? You're not there. Let me take it from here. Okay, it goes very quickly. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, to the household, the sheep of what? Israel. Jerusalem, Judea, still counting as the sheep of Israel, and Samaria. Now you are going a little bit outside the sheep of Israel, but he goes on to say, and unto the utmost part of the earth. So you see, Jesus himself recognizes that that work was not completed. And he gave us a mandate that I am going to empower you not to make more money. That's the fish. I'm going to empower you not to live beyond sickness. It's part of the covenant, but it's the fish. I read biographies of men like David Livingstone, baby Bernard. This man died not knowing the gospel of healing. But heaven, woo! These men in heaven, they're champions. We have all of the truths and lights in prosperity, in healing, in working in the life of the spirit. But all of those things are not the essence of all of this we are here for. The cross, the crux of the matter is that our lives count for souls. Bottom line. Bottom line. Bottom line. 1 John. 1 John 4:19.
Okay.
We love him. No, that's not the one I want to take. Let me take another one. If you can find the one that says, how can you claim to love God if you've not loved your neighbor? That's verse 12. No man had seen God at any time. Is that it? That's not the one. No. Can you help me out, guys? The one that says, how can you claim to love the God with you? Okay. Yeah, that's verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, who he hath seen, how? Somebody say how. How can he love God who he hath not what? Seen. You know, this particular scripture used to bug me when I just gave my life to Christ. It used to bug me like, it's hard. So a lot of us claim to love God. Lord, I love you with all my heart. I pour my heart to you. But again, how can you really love God? How can you really love God? The only way we can love God is by expressing that love, which was the first scripture we read, verse 4:19, wherewith he had loved us. But the question is how? How? We only can express that love not by giving. Yes, by giving, true. But the greatest expression is that we are able to bring others that are outside his sheep into what? His sheepfold. We are coming to the end of the year. We have plans, goals, agendas for the coming year. I put it to you. Make this year a year your life will count for God. Most of us, our lives don't count for God. God counts for our lives. See, the greatest expression of God's love to us, bottom line, is what Jesus did. Not anything we get. But the greatest expression of our love to him is by getting that sheep, those people that are outside his fold, and bringing them to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's do one more reading. John 15. Let's do one more reading before we call it a day. It's not meant to be a long. Like I said, what did I say again? That I'm only featuring, right? If you future, you don't talk too much now. Sorry, that's Luke 15. Luke 15, sorry. The person that feature just take one standard, right? Abi now. So no much talk. Just put it. I go. The guy will sing, pastor will come and sing the remaining chorus. And verse. Okay, Luke 15. This one, let's read it. Let's start from verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's our master. What does he do? And eateth with them. And a servant can be greater than his master. So it's an audit. We should do an audit of our lives. If all the people we hang out with are Christians, all the choir issue. No, it's not in the way that they will come and influence you. The Bible says, you know, Pastor Ego used to teach me something when we were still in school. He says, Kenny, we can't be in the... Any bad boy will be more influential than us. He said, why? He says, light shineth in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. He left school, he was the most influential person. He left school, he was the most influential person in our set. I left school, I was the most influential person in my department. I was more influential than even most of the lecturers in my school. I'm not kidding. I'm not even trying to blow the trumpet. So it bequeaths me to say that I'm surprised when it seems like it's the world that is influencing us. We don't know what we carry. We don't know who we are. We are not living this life the way we should live it. We are not. We are not living this life the way we should live it. There is no way I am. I don't care who you are, where I'm coming from. When I enter, I shine. I don't shine to my glory. Why? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's take it off from where we left off. Verse 3. I think we're in verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99? And, 99, KJV English, in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he finds it. Someone say, until he finds it. I'll share one story with us. It's a private story. But it blessed me this week. It might bless you. Somebody say, until he finds it. Verse 5. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Like one who has found great spoil. Rejoicing. You know, yesterday I passed an exam and I was dancing. I said, Kai, Kenny, shit. And somebody now posted in my in a group I am that, you have made it, oh. I said, Kai, yeah. I said, let me read it from how I said it. Let me paraphrase. I said, how can I have made it if I have not led 2 million souls to Christ? And no, truly, I didn't say it trying to be spiritual. I didn't say it trying to just make a point. But really, why am I doing everything? You know, sometimes I say, like, I want to make more money. But in my mind, I have an idea of why I want to make more money. And it might be far from what most people would think is ideal. But in my mind, like, I need more money. I need more money. I need more money. In my mind, there are some things I just want to do. I just want to be able to.
What? You have your heart right, God will bless you. He says, seek ye first his kingdom and what? And righteousness. And all these other things, Bishop Ode will say, that men are seeking after, will what? Follow you. Be added. We had it. So, just put your heart right. You see, that's why we are trying to have this discussion today. Because a lot of us have our hearts in the wrong place. And how do I know where a man's heart is? Where his money is? Don't look at me. Just look straight. Just look straight. How do I know where a man's heart is? Let me see his hand now, his monthly budget. That's why I know how a man's heart of a man is. Bottom line. And Daddy Free say, tight. Not adequate, don't tight. Not adequate, your problem. And when he comes home, he collects together his friends and neighbors. See, the sermon is not long, so I'll try and use jokes to make it long. Don't mind me. Saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Remember where we started from? That what? There are certain sheep that are not yet in the fold, but he wants us to get into the fold, right? That he wants to get into the fold. Upon his leaving, he declares to us that, see, I have not completed that work. I'm handing it over to you. Started declaring that word to Peter. Came back again and said that what? There are a lot of people outside, even where my initial space was, that I need you guys to go and bring. And from the words he said to Peter, we recognize that that was, I'm just recapping. We recognize that that was, I told you, the sermon is not long. We recognize that that was what? The highest expression of love required of what? Peter. And required of us. So let's listen to verse 7. I say unto you that likewise, say likewise, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. Somebody say one. Somebody say one. Say one. Over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons. So, you see, don't make me let you feel uncomfortable. But the rejoicing in heaven over your lives is not anything near it. Because literally, you're actually joining in the rejoicing in heaven. Because it says what? Likewise. We are joining in the rejoicing in heaven. So what should be the rejoicing here on earth? If it's likewise. The fact that our lives count for souls. The fact that we are able to go out there every day. You know, you see, if someone would take this thing and run with it, trust me, the next year of your life will be the best year ever. I'm telling you, compare the last 5 years of your life, compared to what God will do in your life next year, you can't amount for it. You see, there's a difference between blessing and reward. There's a difference. There's a difference between blessing and reward. Pastor, okay. Over, no, verse 7, please. No, leave candle. You don't need candle. Let's leave candle for the aladras. More than, where was I? Let's start again from the beginning. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99, again, King James English, just persons which need no repentance. So the question now is, what is the value of one soul? The
The value of one soul is enough to erupt all of heaven. The value of one soul, you know, Billy Graham will come win all his million souls. Riyad Bonke will come in of blessed memory, both men. Win million souls. What's the name of this guy that Bonke added over to? David Koliande will come. Yeah, I think he's even in Nigeria. He's come to Nigeria recently, right? He came to Nigeria, one of these towns recently. Win all these souls, right, Femi? Last week. Win this number of souls. But the Bible says, you see, put your eyes on this. 1 month, let my life count for one. Not too much. You see, we are not believing for, God will grace us differently. Some of us, we will call to be evangelists. We will have an outstanding action of the Holy Spirit upon us to do much more, right? But commit that in 2022, come 2022, in a month, my life will amount to one soul. But more so, my life will amount to one established soul. Let me share a private story. Very quickly, as we wrap up. On Wednesday, I got a WhatsApp message. Very awkward, I'll be honest. But bless me. A brother of mine, a friend, sent me a message on WhatsApp. And I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know what ensued it. Greet me. That was Wednesday, yeah, Wednesday morning. I guess work was so busy. He dropped me the message. I didn't respond to it. And he calls by, I'll just read. I don't want to make too much of it. He says, I want to say a big thank you. Again, please, this is not in any way to make anything of myself, but really just to buttress this point. I want to say a big thank you for yielding to the voice of God that told you to preach to me October 22nd, 2010. Do you know the problem of that statement? The problem of that date is that in my mind's eye, again, because my salvation experience wasn't essentially straight through, nobody preached to me. I was a very bad boy. I had a conviction of the Holy Spirit, which I believe came by prayers of the saints, my mother inclusive. And I gave my life to Christ in a situation where there was nobody around teaching me the Word of God. I, by the reason of encounter, developed an appetite for reading the Word. So I was still in school, then I'll spend 4 hours or so just reading the scriptures, just reading, whether I understood, I didn't understand. At some point, everything just started to make sense. That's how it happened. And I got praying in tongues. I was just in church one day, sitting down. Nobody lays hands, no something. And the master was, the man of God was preaching. I just started speaking in tongues. For nothing. No, nobody, nothing was happening. So that was my experience. There was nobody. So the emphasis was that there was no real, at initial state, there was no real formation, real anything. And interestingly, that was just a little over 1 month from this date. So, in my mind's eye, I'm like, hey, come on now, dude. That date can't be correct now. I was shocked. That was 1 month, literally about 1 month from when I gave my life to Christ. I remember vividly. And that was what really gave me goosebumps. Like, it can't be, what are we talking about? Because in the context, see the context. So I tell us that we have this much word. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit with us. And all we are doing adds no value to the kingdom of God. This was literally 1 month from when I gave my life to Christ 11 years ago. It goes on to say, where I was working hopelessly that evening. God used you to add value to my life. I'd met lots of people who had told me they would help me, but never helped me or preached to me. See what I'm saying? That the value is not what we give people. Yeah, we are to do that. But anyway, let me just read. You sow only one seed that day, but today, that seed is producing more seeds and fruits. May God strengthen you and family, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. So I query him. And I say, only God deserves the glory. You know the way you are meant to say these things. However, can you tell me more about that prayer we met? I want to learn. Even me too, I want to remind myself of these things. Can you tell me more? Because what shocked me was that this was a little over 1 month after I gave my life to Christ. What was I telling this guy? Nobody had taught me then. I was just spending time reading God's word. I found myself praying in church one day. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And I sat myself in the room most times, just singing songs. And I just start praying. And sometimes I just see things. You know? And I asked him to a little expatiate on it. And he goes on. We met October 22nd, 2010, on Friday evening, around after 5 p.m. You put on green, white, green cardigan. You told me God sent you to me. And I was laughing. Because I don't know where you see God that sent you to me. Where did you see the God that sent you to me? I was hopeless and frustrated about life, feeling rejected from family and friends because I had no one to shape my heart with, to share my heart with, and I had no one to share my heart with. You talked to me brief with smiles in your face, and you gave me an appointment in the coming week to meet with you, which is on Tuesday, the next week. You gave me money and promised me something another next Tuesday. Let me put it in context. The guy was a community boy, Omar Dubo, in the school. It's like all these village boys in the school area. So they come in to beg. They come in to look for, maybe help me, or okay, let me wash your clothes for you now. Give them money, all these kind of things. So that's just putting context. Yes, I did. So I asked him, but I thought the day we met, he said, yes, I did beg for money. But that evening, listen to this, I didn't because I was frustrated. He didn't come to the school to be, he was just roaming around. Me, I thought he came to meet me. He said me, I came to meet him. I don't know. The Tuesday came. I was surprised to see you with a Yoruba Bible in your hand. You gave it to me and told me to read the book of Proverbs for whatever reason. And we are going to talk about it, what you read every week. Though the Bible was nothing to me, but seeing someone that will be giving me money every week and also talk to me and also taking time to talk to me, I was happy. You told me to study the Bible at least four chapters in a day. Seriously, the Bible was no value to me. But for the sake of the money you will give me and the attention I was seeing from you, few hours before my coming to school, I did the Bible study to give you very interesting parts. Your words of encouragement and support given to me changed my life day by day. But I didn't give my life to Jesus. You always seem to be a gentle person. But I was a cultist or a cult member. I didn't know. Didn't matter. You did pray for me and supported me, my academics. I always loved to be around you, to hear you. Yet I hated church because I had different encounters with people going to church, and they judged me wrongly and condemned me. That always makes me to hate church. But you always talked about church. I hated going to church. One day, I went for a program in my family church. And the pastor was preaching on that topic, which says, the day of reckoning. Thank God for such pastors. As the pastor was preaching, I'm hearing you too preaching to me at the same time. I can't control my tears in the church. And I was just crying for mercy inside the church. That day was June 9th, 2011. After that day, finally gave his life to Christ, left the cult, and all what is not. So I just share that to say to you, let your life count for souls. Let's walk in love as God has asked us to walk in love. Heaven rejoices over one. Make a covenant with God that every 1 month, every 2 weeks, every 1 week, you go out and endeavor to win one. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life and the peace and the ministry of grace that comes by your word. We ask that we grow in the light of this truth. We walk in it. We are empowered to live this life of love. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.